of a message that I intended to be a single part message, but went on and on and on. And hopefully we'll bring this to a wrap today. As I was putting it together, there was some more material, but I said I'm not throwing any more material into this at all. For those who are interested in getting the first two parts, if it motivates you, Don can get that for you, or you can get it electronically. What else did I want to cover about this? As I'm going over these items, this is a little bit of a different type of message in that it is not a single theme message other than to walk by the Spirit. It will cover a bunch of areas. These particular items are impossible to do unless we first have received the Lord God and His Holy Spirit within us. Otherwise, what we're doing is just striving after the wind. I'm sure I'll cover this later, but we don't do good deeds to be redeemed. We are redeemed to do good deeds. And, okay, I covered all of that stuff. As I'm going over it, and I'm sure if you listen to part one and two, this is a repeat for those who have not heard it. If you think that I have achieved perfection yet, just check with Lori. She will let you know exactly where I stand, okay? All right, we covered all that other stuff. So, walk by the Spirit, what does that exactly mean? We'll start this off. I wasn't going to use this first slide, but it came upon my heart this morning, but I didn't make more changes than this. So, I have been young, and now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. This is my sister and I guess about 5 years old, and then taken about a year ago. The Lord has incredibly graciously watched over my sister and I. And the Lord cares for his own. For those who have put their faith in him, he watches over us in incredible ways. I have two older siblings who are not believers. They're 6 and 7 years older than I. And when my mother gave birth to me, she had a nurse. And the nurse was this godly black woman who my mother referred to as one of those holy rollers. And she held me as a few-day-old infant, and my mother found that she was praying over me. And these are things which I did not know to years and years later. When my sister was born 18 months later, she happened to once again bring the same woman on who again held my sister and prayed for her as an infant. And today my sister and I, bloodline-wise, are the only believers in our family other than our descendants. So the Lord is incredibly gracious to us in watching over us. So my encouragement to you is seek the Lord. He will watch over you. Does that mean that all of your problems disappear? No. What does it say? I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. We will have our needs met. We may not have all of our wants met, but as I look back over my life, I can recall less than a handful of times that I missed a meal because I was in want. The Lord always took care of what I need. I have always had a place to lay my head. And if somebody is in need of any of those basic things, they should see the congregation and we can help out. Okay. So, for the Lord gives wisdom and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. By the way, I did this just so that you don't have to keep looking into your Bibles. The world schooling system says that knowledge is power. And the scripture says that knowledge puffs up. Oftentimes into you thinking more of yourself than you actually are. We used to use the expression, he has a big head, meaning that you believe that you are more or greater than you actually are. So the difference between wisdom and knowledge will like give you this big puffed head, but wisdom, my son, get wisdom. It is important to know the how, but unless you know the why, the power of knowledge can be misapplied. Kind of like a young driver, we'll call him a male driver because they're slightly more aggressive, who gets into a high-performance car. He's got all the power he needs. He's got all the knowledge he needs. But unless he has wisdom to control that power, he could injure himself or others. So seek the counsel of the Lord. Get wisdom. It is greater than knowledge. Seek his understanding. I had another thought. I should have said it at the middle, but it slipped my mind. Maybe it'll come back later. Hebrews 6:1. Leaving the elementary teachings about the Messiah, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and from faith in God. Being born into this world is a wonderful thing. We often celebrate the birth of children in our families and in our communities, but we know that that child needs to be raised, to be loved, to be fed, to be encouraged, to be educated, to be taught how to act and live in society. They don't know it by instinct. When Ariel and Deborah were very young, Lori was big on these books, and they talked about how children were like aliens in a foreign land. They didn't understand the rules of what was going on or how society operates. And they needed to be taught what to do and how to behave. And when they did something wrong, they needed to be lovingly corrected. When a child does something wrong, the parents often need to ask themselves first if they've ever taken the time to explain to these aliens what is expected in this situation. Well, the same is true in the spiritual world. When you are born again, it is not the end. It is just the beginning. It is the new start. When we are born into the kingdom of light, we need to learn the ways of the Lord and how the spiritual realm operates. We need to learn how to pray, how to talk to our Father who is in heaven. Your spiritual parents, those who have shared the message of life with you, will be glad, along with the congregational leadership, to help you discover the spiritual path and help you understand sound teaching and the principles of the spiritual life. Yet some people get this born-again experience and they never take the time to learn the ways of the Lord. They never grow beyond the stage of a baby. They become like a child who's left in a room and eats and drinks, but never takes any deep social interaction with others. They cannot speak except for grunts. This is the picture of spiritual immaturity. For those who are born the first time, you need to learn and grow. The same is true when you are born again. In the springtime, I really love to plant seedlings. They need to be watered and they need to be watched over. And if the storms are heavy outside, they need to be taken in and propped up until they can be strong so that they can bear fruit and that Lori and I can enjoy the tomatoes. So grow strong. You know, bear fruit of the Spirit. Understand the spiritual laws. There's so much in us that the Lord can bring out if we let him dig around the roots and put in the fertilizer. And, you know, sometimes it's painful getting pruned, having those parts of the tree or parts of our lives clipped back, which aren't producing so that the Lord can produce more within us. Did I skip a slide here? I lost one somewhere. I think I'm out of order here, but that's okay. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Legalism. Legalism is not me taking my personal convictions, which may be beyond the scope or the command of the scriptures, and doing them. If I decide for myself that I do not want to eat unkosher food, that is not legalism or any other extra-biblical convictions that I may have. If I take the convictions which are beyond this, okay, I think I said that. if I decide to get up first thing in the morning and read the scriptures, and I do, that's not legalism. If I say that you must, upon waking each morning, read 3 or 4 chapters in the scriptures, that's legalism, because you may not be a morning person. And me taking my experience and forcing it upon you would be legalism. What I could tell you is to encourage you by the Spirit that the Spirit does want you to read the scriptures. And you should, here I go with should, you should be reading the scriptures daily to learn more of the Lord. But any prescribed time or way, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never forces his way in upon us. He will guide us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Spend time in the Word. We have the freedom in the Spirit, and the Spirit will convict us when we're wrong. Dr. Arnold Fuchtenbaum talks about this story. He goes often from church to church speaking. And he went into this one church, and in the back, he saw the rules of this church. And in the rules, it said, we don't go to movies. We don't drink. We don't. Guys don't cut their hair long. We always have shaving. We don't go to parties, and we don't go to dances. And Arnold sat there after reading this list and said to himself, I am glad I'm not a member of this church. I was freer under the law of Moses with 613 commandments than I would be in this church. Anything added above or beyond the scriptures is legalism. What do we need to follow? We need to follow the clear teachings of the scriptures. What do the scriptures say? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some. So get together. This is what we're doing right now. Come out on Wednesday night. Spend some time with each other. Encourage one another. Study the Word to show yourself approved. That's what you need to do. I'm going off here. Okay, so let me back up and find this other. Okay, my slides are out of order, but I think I'm getting this down here. Whatever your hands finds to do, do it with all your might. Do the work which is before you. You can talk about ministry or accomplishing a project or a goal until the cows come home. You need to be out doing the work that the Lord has placed before you. Whether that be children's ministry, nursery, teaching, serving, ushering, hospitality, giving, praying, studying. What did Thomas Edison say about what genius was? It is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. You may have all these great ideas for ministry in your head. Unless you do them, they're going to dry out and rot on the vine like fruit that has not been picked. I can remember a young man with all of these great ideas in his head, and he would talk about them all the time. Now this young man is past middle age, and he often complains that other people stole his ideas when they were successful. He thinks much of himself because he is puffed up, and he still does not put out the effort to be successful in life. And as a result, he goes to work, watches TV, complains about others, shirks his major responsibility, blames others for his current situation of life, and surrounds himself with like-minded people. Do not be like that. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Or whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Get to work on time. No, get to work before your work starts. You should be early. Uh-oh, there I go spouting my legalism again. Okay, I could tell you that the Lord wants you to be on time for the office. I can only recommend that you get there early. Remember who you represent. Remember who our King is. Remember who we're working for. We're working for the Lord and not for men. And when we show up, who do we want to be glorified? Who's your real boss in this situation? I'm sure the Holy Spirit will guide you as to what time you should be in your office. You heard my recommendations. I won't repeat it because I'll go into legalism. Let your statements be yes, yes, and no, no. Anything beyond this is evil. If you make a commitment, follow through on it. A righteous man swears to his own hurt. If you're going to utter something out of your mouth, even a promise without thinking it through, you've just committed yourself to do it. Next time, compress your lips. Keep your mouth closed. If you make a promise, keep it. If you've ever watched Little House on the Prairie or Wheeler Dealer, they often go into negotiations and go back and forth, and then they stick out the hand and make a deal. That's it. That stands. That's the price. That's what will be delivered. A verbal negotiation is made. They shake on it, and that's it. My daughter Arielle can be kind of assertive. Well, anyway, that's an interesting word around our house lately. About a year ago, she says to me, "So, Dad, how much money have you put aside for my wedding?" And after thinking about this, I did give her a bit of a number. But once I had said that, guess what? I was committed. I was committed to commit that far financially, and it really wouldn't matter if I had another financial situation come up, because I had given my word to my daughter. And what is your word worth? Okay. I know of a young man who I've had some dealings with, who came from a home where often verbal commitments were made and never followed through on. He would shirk his responsibilities, and he would seek ways to get himself out of situations that he has committed himself on. So what did he learn in the household where he grew up? There is no such thing as trusting other people. And as a result, this young man's word cannot be trusted any longer. The further result of this family unit is they don't have close relationships. They don't have tight friendships with other people or family members. They don't have it in them because their family value was deception, because they didn't follow through on what they say. Follow through on what you do. Give your word and follow through. This lack of relationship with others created problems for the family members. And I had interaction with one of these family members, another one. And this family member had a great difficulty trusting anything that I told him, until after a while they found out that whatever I would say, I would do. And this built an incredible level of trust to this day. How difficult, if a child cannot learn to trust his father, how difficult is it for that child to learn how to trust his heavenly father? Man up, do what you say, and say what you do, and do it in writing. God always does what he says. If he says it, he's going to do it. Jerry Gross, who used to be a leader at this congregation years ago, told me he was interviewing for a pharmaceutical company, and it was a bunch of series of questions, and I forget exactly how all the interactions went, but it came to this point where they were asked, well, you know, what would you do for us? And Jerry said to them, "I will never lie to you, and I will never lie for you." Anybody who says that they're going to lie for you to cover something will be shortly lying to you, because people become double-minded in that situation. If they begin to say one thing and do another, there begins to be a schism in their brain. If they try and live a double life, a lie on one side and truth on the other, it hurts up here. What happens is when they're speaking the truth to somebody, sometimes that deceptiveness comes out. And sometimes when they're lying to somebody else, part of the truth comes out of there. They are double-minded. But those who have decided ahead of time that they will not lie for a person or to a person, but they're going to be honest and straightforward They have a clear mind. They have a single-mindedness. Their mind is clear. They could speak from their heart without worrying about the next thought that's going to come out because they aren't hiding anything there. So be a clear mind. Be an open heart. Don't be double-minded. Abraham believed God, and he, God, reckoned to him as righteousness. We need to be like Abraham. We need to believe what is revealed to us. Listen to what the Lord is showing you. When was the last time the Lord dropped the ball and let you down? There's Abraham. He's out in the wilderness. Well, I guess not. I guess he would have been in Ur of the Chaldees, where he's working with his father and whatever they do there. And God says to Abraham, who was Abram at the time, listen, I want you to get up and go and leave. And I'm not telling you where you're going. I'm going to a place I'll let you know later. And just get up and go. Abraham didn't say, well, where am I heading? What should I bring? What should I do this? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. I have to confess to you that there are times in my own life when I felt this calling of the Lord to do something particular where I was not as obedient as Abraham, where I would say, well, how about this Almighty One? And we find ourselves arguing with the Lord God Almighty. But the Lord God is so gracious to us. He watches over us and he says, just take the next step. Just do the next thing I'm revealing to you. And Abraham was righteous, and the Lord brings his righteousness to us by our having faith in what Yeshua has done for us. Just take that next step. A good name is more desired to be than great wealth. Favor is better than silver or gold. What is in a name? Walk in the way that would make your king proud and not be ashamed to call you my son or my daughter. Sam Nadler, who's a friend of ours, says that the only title that we need for the work of the kingdom is child of the king. We don't need to be called the leader, the elder, the pastor, the rabbi, the macher. We need to do the right thing so that the name which we are associated with brings glory to him. I have a family member years ago who got in trouble with the legal system, and I could see the shame that it had brought on my family, that their name was dragged down, that they heard their last name, my last name, Rothbard, announced on the radio in not such a pleasant situation. As believers, we realize that this person was first caught this person who was caught by the law was first caught in a cycle of sin and death. Since these family members could not see that it is a sin issue, what they felt was shame and anger in their association with him because of this person's actions. We need to do the right thing so that the good name of Yeshua will not be besmirched by this world. We need to live in a way that will bring honor to the king. And when we're asked why we would do such good things, it is because we serve the king, the creator of the universe. Make a change today. Take back the beachhead that was lost so that your acts of righteousness will bring glory to the king. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit so that you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Oh, now I remembered. Yeah, this is more of a smorgasbord going from area to area. So if you have questions, you can ask me later. The only way that we could do these things is if we rely upon the Spirit of God that lives within us. Otherwise, it will be just striving after the wind. We may do some good things for some other people, but our King, our true righteous, our King, and true acts of righteousness, as far as our King and true acts of righteousness are concerned, it doesn't mean a lot. You know, it's just outwardly doing. Do not go on sinning in your mortal bodies. Live a chaste and pure life. How can a young man keep himself pure and strive to do good? We need to be at peace with all men as much as possible, which was within you. We need to rely upon the Spirit to give us strength and wisdom. Do not quench the Spirit who lives within you. When you're prompted to pray for someone or speak the truth, just do it. We are created to do good works. We are redeemed to do good. And we do not do good to be redeemed. We are redeemed. What are we going to do with our redemption? Use your God-given talent to glorify your Creator, your natural gifts that He placed in you when you were born, and the spiritual gifts that He placed in you on the day that you were born again. If you have not done one of those spiritual gift assessments online, you can go online and find out what your spiritual gifts are and use them for the building up of the congregation. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. Where your heart is, there your treasure shall be. If you want to know where your treasure is, go look at your bank statement, and it'll tell you where your treasure is going, where you've been writing your checks to, and what you've been spending your money on. You want to know what's important with your time? Take out your calendar and look where you've been and look where you're going, and it's going to tell you what's important. You could tell me all the things that you're going to do when you get some money or some time, but I'm going to say to you, by the wisdom that the Lord has shown me, I'll know what you're going to do by what you've been doing with what you have. I often meet people, oh, when I make $1 million, I'm going to make this great donation. But what are you donating today? Well, I'm not donating anything. I don't have the money right now. Well, you're obviously making some money. Those people who are putting a portion aside today will be doing so in the future. It really doesn't matter what they're going to receive in the future. They'll do the same thing with that they're doing with what they've received now. Find out what's important to you. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. And when he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. I'll leave you with this very interesting story that my wife shared with me. A wonderful Jewish teacher and his learner, his Padawan, his disciple, called upon a rich man to seek funds for another man who had had a severe heart attack. The host greeted the teacher and his friend warmly and listened to them intently as the teacher briefly described the peril and plight of the one who had suffered this ailment. "We are asking you for a generous gift," the teacher concluded. The rich man said, "Who is the sick man?" The teacher shook his head and said, "Rarely do we reveal the names of those in need. In this case, it is most difficult for the man to admit that he needs charity." The rich man said, "If I am to help, I insist on knowing the identity of the man in need. I will keep it in the strictest confidence. I was going to give you $500, but if you tell me the man's name, I'll give you $1,000. The teacher said, "We cannot reveal the man's name," shaking his head. $2,000, the rich man said. "Surely you will not refuse that amount." The teacher said, "I will not break his confidence," and shaking his head. Meanwhile, the teacher, is looking on in disbelief. He could hardly believe that this rabbi just keeps saying no. Taking a deep breath, the rich man said, $3,000. Before the teacher could reply, his companion pleaded with him, "Teacher, $3,000 will pay all of the hospital and living expenses. He is an honorable man," talking about the rich man. "He will keep the secret with us." The teacher walked toward the door. "I should have left long ago. The honor of a man is not open for barter or negotiations, regardless of what sum of money I might have. I will make visits to others. Have a good day." Before the teacher could leave the house, the rich man begged him to meet with him privately in the next room. The moment they were alone, the rich man broke into tears. "Teacher, I have recently lost every penny that I have saved, and I'm not even able to make a token payment on my mortgage. I have wanted to go to someone for help, but I could not stand the idea of everyone in the city knowing that I am a failure." The teacher says, "Now I understand." He said tenderly, "You were testing me to see if I could be trusted with your secret." The teacher said, "I will seek funds for you as well as for the man who has had the heart attack, and I will keep your confidence as well as his." And that's our story. If we're given a matter, we're to keep it in secrecy for others. What is our integrity worth? If you have some questions, if you require some prayer, you could see me after the service. Len and Irving aren't here. I'll be glad to talk with you or anybody if you have some personal questions. We're just going to wrap things up in a minute, if I could find where I can wrap them up. I'm not as good as this as Irving is. I am in search of the Aaronic benediction, which I am will find eventually. Here it is. Thank you, Sugar, on page 22. So right after that, we're going to have